Yep, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Open Mic Friday on February the 9th in the year of our Lord 2018. But we've got a, by the way, problem going on here. So let's listen to this.
Well, the originator may have been well-intentioned, but the future is certainly not entirely dependent upon what we do. Suppose all of us determine that there would never be senseless school shootings or storms on the East Coast or wildfires or mudslides in California. Suppose we determine cancer would no longer exist in the future.
They have my recording.
Could we work in such a way that those things would...
The minute started.
Fortunately, our loving God has the future in his hand.
Can't hear anything. Well, we're back again here. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel. And at this time, it is February the 9th in the year of our Lord, 2018. We normally take questions on this day, and I'm not saying we're not going to, but at this point, I think there's something more important that I want to do, and that is to summarize what we talked about yesterday. What did we talk about yesterday with, well, Wes Reimnitz? He had some really good points. It was one of the most difficult Bible passages from Judges chapter 11. A man named Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, and he said, "When I go to war against the Ammonites, and if you will give them into my hand, then whatever comes out from the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the Ammonites shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." Well, guess what happened? Who walks out of his house? His daughter. And not one of the daughters, it's his only firstborn daughter. And he tears his clothes. "Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low, and you have become the cause of great trouble to me. For I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot take back my vow." Yeah, the Bible is really clear. Once you make a vow to the Lord, don't delay in keeping it. And she says to her father, "Let this thing be done for me. But give me 2 months that I may go down to the mountains and weep for my virginity and my companions." And he sent her away. And at the end of the 2 months, she returned to her father, who did with her according to his vow that he had made. And what was that? Well, listen once more to the vow, as it is translated in the English. "Whoever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the Ammonites shall be to the Lord's, and I will shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." Now, burnt offerings were, of course, done on the altar of the Lord, and it was a type of a sacrifice. It isn't until the Mid Ages that people began to question whether or not he really burned his daughter. Up until that time, even Martin Luther thought that when she returned from the mountains, he did a burnt offering. We're going to be talking about what a burnt offering is this coming Monday, because it just so happens to be the Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent, where Abraham is told to kill Isaac. And you put him on the altar. You first of all use a knife to kill him, and then you burn him. Boy, is that what Jephthah did? I have a number of reasons why I do not believe that is what he did. And how did we come to these decisions? Well, first of all, we used law and gospel. But then we also took a look at Scripture, interpret Scripture. In Scripture, human sacrifices are denounced again and again. In fact, even Ahab and Jezebel, we made a point about them. They did not do human sacrifices, as evil as they were. So it wasn't until the Middle Ages that the interpretation came about that he didn't kill his daughter, but he dedicated his daughter to the service of the sanctuary of God. Human sacrifices were denounced. And we're going to see on Monday, when Isaac is about to be killed, God stops him. I don't know if people really read Judges 11 in the context, but it's very clear that though Jephthah was not a leader at the time, when the Ammonites made war against Israel, the elders went to bring him and said, "Come and be our leader, that we may fight against the Ammonites." Now, Jephthah had been actually born of a prostitute. And so even his own family had kicked him out because of that. But it says very clearly that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. So I'm just asking, how can the Spirit of the Lord be upon him if he decides to do a burnt offering of his daughter, when it is so contradicted in the Bible? So how do we understand this? Well, taking a look at the actual Hebrew, after it says in verse 29 that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him and he made a vow to the Lord, he says, "When whoever meets me, when I return in peace, shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." Well, I took a look at the original Hebrew, and the word "and" is said to be, by some scholars, it never means "or." Oh, really? It doesn't mean "or"? Well, guess what? I found a whole number of passages where it means "or," not just "and." And it's got to be that. For example, when he says, "I will offer, it shall be the Lord's, or I will offer up for a burnt offering," that's quite different. Genesis 13:9, here's an example. Abraham is talking to Lot about the division of the land that they have come to. He says to Lot, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." And that's the same word. The same word that Jephthah uses. Or. And wouldn't make any sense there at all. Or, listen to Genesis 17, verse 12. "He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring." It wouldn't make any sense. Every male, whether born in your house and bought with your money from a foreigner. No. There, once more, this word is translated as "or." And in Genesis 26, verse 11, Abimelech is warning all the people, saying, "Whoever touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." So if that word "or" can only be translated as "and," then it'd have to read, "Whoever touches this man and his wife shall surely be put to death." That doesn't make any sense, because that means you can fool around with a man, or you can fool around with a wife. As long as you don't fool around with both, then you're okay. It makes no sense whatsoever. So I don't agree with those who don't think that there's an "or" in the sentence, because there are a whole number of passages. You see, when these scholars years ago did this, they didn't have the computers we have today. I can look up a word in the Hebrew, which I did, and see how it's translated. Or you can look it up in the English. I did that also, the word or. And I found 1,300 passages that had the word or in it. And most of them use this word that can also be translated as and. So, number two, there's no condemnation of his actions for killing his daughter if he did that. Now, one would say, well, what does that mean? Well, if you take a look, he is in Hebrews 11 as a hero of the faith. Now, I don't think you can possibly come to the conclusion that he would have done this to his daughter, done a burnt offering of her, and then he continues to be a judge in Israel for six more years. No, I mean, nobody at that time imagined that human sacrifices were okay. Even more importantly is when you take a look at what she was worried about. She says, let this thing be done for me. Leave me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down on the mountains and weep for my, what does she say next? For my virginity. Not because she's going to die, but for her virginity. And verse 38 says that he says, go. She departed, she and her commandments. Companions, and wept for her virginity on the mountains. Now, wait a minute. Why would she be weeping for her virginity if she's going to be dead? You see, there is definitely a practice found in the Old Testament, and there are verses where women would minister at the door of the holy place. And they were virgins who had promised never to be married, and this is how she was dedicated to the Lord. I'm absolutely convinced of that. Because not only she, but also he, wow, was really worried about her being a virgin. Why was that? She was the only child. The line would end. And when she returned to her father, he did to her according to the vow that he had made. And listen to the next sentence, verse 39. She had never known a man. And then it says that the daughters of Israel went year by year, and the English says, to lament the daughter of Jephthah. Well, guess what? That word doesn't just mean lament. It can also mean to celebrate. She followed the vow of her father. And both of them were sad that she would have to remain a virgin, but that's what happens when she's dedicated to the temple. And the ministering women at the temple is found in Exodus 38 and 1 Samuel 2. So, the next point I want to make that really convinced me is how the English translations talk about she had never known a man. That's one translation. Another one, and she knew no man. Another, she had no relations with a man. Another, she was a virgin. And the New King James, she knew no man. Now that I find very interesting because I'm not going to get into it in great detail, but these are what we refer to as calperfects, this particular verb. And there is a form of this verb, it's called a stative, that simply describes a state of being. In other words, it's very easy to translate this verb, not with the past tense, namely that she knew no man, but with the present tense, and she continued to know no man. That's something that would only occur if she continued to live. The pathos And that's kind of important. And when I say the pathos, the suffering that the two of them were going through was that she would not be able to have children. She was considered a heroine. And they celebrated her for a time. She bewailed her virginity, not her death. And finally, the most important point is all the translations have a burnt offering. But that particular word doesn't involve burnt. It actually is a word that talks about ascending, going up. In other words, if you're going to do a sacrifice at the altar, you go up to the altar. That's the word. And we find it a number of times that has nothing to do with burnt offerings. In Genesis 19, verse 30, Lot went up out of Zoar and lived in the hills with his two daughters. There was no burnt offering there. And yet it's the same word as burnt offering. Or in Genesis 26, and he went up from thence to Beersheba. And Hezekiah, the king, he's talking to the prophet. He says, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? This I find very interesting, that it doesn't mean burnt offering. There's nothing about it being burned. It always was referred to a lot of times as a burnt offering if they're going up to the altar of the Lord to sacrifice an animal. But that's not really the original meaning of that word. It just simply means to go up, to rouse up. Or, as one scholar puts it, to dedicate oneself to God. So for these six reasons, I do not believe that Jephthah killed his daughter. They were sad, both of them, that she had to follow the vow and minister at the front of the holy place, at the door of the holy place, as other women were doing. But their sadness was not because she was dying. Their sadness was because she was not going to be able to have children. And the line would therefore end. So, our numbers here are 314-0850 in St. Louis, or 1-800-730-2727. So, maybe somebody's got a point they want to make on this. Let's go and talk, first of all, with James. James, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, Pastor. Could you take a look at 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 26 through 27, and tell me what that "and" means in regards to what you're speaking of today? And
let's do one, because I got a whole bunch on right now.
2 Kings 26, verses 2 Kings 3, verses 26.
Is James there? Maybe you can ask James.
No, you confuse me, Pastor.
Oh, yeah, I confuse you. Yeah, that's for sure.
2 Kings chapter 3, verses 26 to 27. It also talks about burnt offerings and sacrifices. And what I'd like to know in regards to what you're talking about, what that "and" meant there, and what was the great indignation connected with that sacrifice that caused the Israelites to not continue the siege?
Yeah, okay, I'll take a look at that. Thank you. Let me read it first of all. When the king of Moab saw that the battle was going against him, he took with him 700 swordsmen to break through opposite the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his oldest son, who was to reign in his place, and offered him for a burnt offering on the wall. And there came great wrath against Israel, and they withdrew from him and return to their own land. Well, that was a remarkable sacrifice that had the intention to invoke the Moabite God. So it's really obvious that this was totally contrary to the word of God. And therefore, that's why Israel withdrew from him and returned to their own place. I don't think you can find one place in the Bible where a human sacrifice is permitted by God. It just doesn't happen anywhere. Good verse to bring up. Let's go and talk to, who's this? Mike, you're on the air.
Hi. Listen, I read a Jewish commentary on Jephthah.
Oh, yeah.
And what they said was that he was expecting one of his slaves to come out and that's who he was going to sacrifice. And because he was a judge, he had the power of life and death, so he could actually do that. And if you were saying the way it's written about, you know, her mourning her virginity, well, I think that somebody, when they wrote that in the Bible, they were under the spirit of prophecy, and it was really a prophetic pattern of the Virgin Mary being a perpetual virgin, you know. And I know in Mark chapter 6, verse 3, they said that Jesus had four brothers and an unknown number of sisters. But according to the proto-evangelium of James, them were Joseph's kids from a former marriage.
Which is not part of the Bible.
Well, no, it's not recognized by canon, right. But it is by the Russian Orthodox Church, but not generally, no.
Right. Okay, good point. I'll discuss that a little bit. Mike does make a point that some people are trying to draw this daughter to the Virgin Mary. They were both very faithful. And remember, the daughter says, "Let it happen to me as you have vowed," because she doesn't want her father to break his vow. And isn't that what Mary said to the angel? "Let it happen to me as you have said. I am the servant of God." There's no doubt that there can be a connection made there, but I don't think that's the main purpose. And one of the things I said I wanted to do today is, why is this story in the Bible? Unfortunately, from my point of view, part of the Lutheran Catechism that is not part of the Lutheran Catechism, called the Enchiridion, it makes a point that this story shows us that we should not make vows that are evil, and we can really get into trouble. Well, there's no doubt that's true, but I don't think he made an evil vow. I think he said, "I will dedicate, or it will be a burnt offering." And the burnt offering means, well, she's going to go up to the temple, because that's what burnt offering means in the original Hebrew, to go up. It doesn't necessitate anything being burned. And so it still is sad that the line wouldn't continue. Remember the book of Ruth? What's that all about? It's about Naomi, whose two sons die, and the line cannot continue. They didn't have any children. Naomi refers to herself as bitter because the line isn't going to continue. But the whole book of Ruth has one goal, and that's to show that Ruth married Boaz and the line does continue. Not just Ruth's line and Naomi's line. This is the line to Jesus. Had Boaz not married Ruth, the end of the line to Jesus would have occurred. A tremendous, tremendous importance to understand that that's what the book of Ruth is all about. So how do I understand Jephthah? I understand this to show that Jephthah, he had great faith. He believed that God and God alone would be able to take care of the situation. And so he prayed to him. Remember, it even says he was in the spirit when he was making these decisions. And also, I believe, when he was making the vow. So the Spirit would never move us to say something like, well, guess what? It's okay to sacrifice your child, to kill your child. There's no doubt that did come about later on with the god Molech. And the god Molech appreciated, at least from the point of view of the people, the sacrifice of little children. And they would sacrifice the little children for this, dedicating it to the idol Molech. That's how I consider abortion, by the way. When a woman decides to have an abortion and kill her child, she's really dedicating the baby to Molech. Or, in our day, that would, of course, be the devil. And we need to really become much stronger against abortion, particularly since science and medicine is on our side, to show that these are real human beings. These are individuals who feel pain at a certain age. But that's another thing. The point is, Jephthah, he was considered to be so faithful that he is in Hebrews chapter 11 as a man of faith. And I just can't believe that God would inspire the writer to Hebrews to do that if he had really murdered his child. Doesn't make any sense at all. I'm Tom Baker. Monday, we'll take a look at Abraham being told to kill Isaac. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.